Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
So some good news tonight, a significant development in South Africa's economy, the ongoing drop in fuel prices helping consumer inflation ease to its lowest level since March 2021. Inflation now at 3.8% for the month of September. It marks the fourth consecutive month of decline, primarily driven by lower transport costs. Now, while this brings some relief to consumers, obviously there are still important factors to consider: steady food prices and increasing housing rental rates. I want to break all of this down, and she has been with us on the program before, Hannah de Nobrega, economist and quantitative analyst from Prescient Investment Management. Welcome to you. I want to talk about what this means for the economy and what we can expect in coming months. First of all, the announcement earlier today, was this in line with expectations or better than expected?
The announcement earlier today was exactly in line with inflation expectations, and this is great news because it means that the Reserve Bank has actually anchored expectations correctly.
So transport inflation, as I mentioned in the introduction, is a major player here. It's now in deflationary territory. What is that, and what does it mean for consumers?
Okay, so the transport inflation would be your consideration of your fuel prices. So this is your petroleum. These fuel price relief should be probably fading quite soon. So the downward trend on that was actually just a base effect from a year ago. And we can expect that there might be a gradual uptrend from November again, or just that it averages out completely. So the fuel price has had like an under recovery, and now we can expect like a retrending of that.
So on the one hand, we've got, Hannah, fuel prices have dropped, but there's always a flip side to this. Food inflation remains steady. Why is that, and why would certain food items still see higher inflation rates?
That's a very good question. So we see that our fruit and vegetable prices have actually increased, while mainly breads and your dairy prices have remained relatively stable, or increased by 0.1%, which is really almost negligible. This is due to maybe some high rainfalls, which we have been experiencing from the El Nino weather patterns. However, we are expecting a La Nina weather pattern to come through next year, and so we're going to expect some delayed rainfalls and maybe some droughts. The higher rainfalls aren't very good for fruits and vegetables, because every time there is a slight, even just a drizzle, the trees have to be resprayed with things to get the bugs out and anti-mold, and that costs a lot of money to respray. And then some other crops that are actually, so like your grain crops, actually benefit from higher rainfalls. So those prices have been coming down quite significantly. But the weather pattern is about a shift again, and so we'll probably be able to expect a shift in food prices to swap around, from the grains being slightly more expensive and fruit and veg coming down when droughts start to begin.
Hannah, that's a very impressive answer. Not only are you an economist, but you're a meteorologist, you're an agronomist and a horticulturalist thrown in as well. So I'm very impressed. So we've seen four consecutive months of falling inflation. The key question, obviously, is should we expect further reductions in the Reserve Bank's interest rates? We are expecting an announcement towards the end of November.
So with inflation coming down quite nicely, it's floating down to its midpoint, and even has come down below its midpoint, we can expect to be in a cutting cycle. We now are. So the Reserve Bank has already done its first cut of 25 basis points, and we expect the Reserve Bank to cut slowly over the course of the next year. And also not too deeply, though. So we can't expect a 50 basis point or 75 basis point cut. The Reserve Bank might take the opportunity to actually move our inflation band to a lower inflation band of where the midpoint becomes 3%. Nothing is set in stone yet, but we are going to monitor that situation. If that had to occur, then the cuts may just be even more gradual and smaller than expected, but there will still be rate cuts going forward.
Hannah, we know, and by his own admission, the Reserve Bank governor is cautious and conservative by nature. But there is a school of thought that says a Big Bang theory would be better. Why not go for a 50 basis point cut come November? Would that not give us the kind of stimulus that we need?
So you'd want to err on the side of caution when inflation has only just begun to fall. There are global factors to consider as well. So global inflation isn't quite low enough yet. So other central banks are remaining quite wary of that. And because South Africa is quite a small open economy, we are affected from global inflation as well. So we actually import those costs on our consumption side. And then also, if you reduce the inflation, the interest rate too quickly, you could have a situation on your hands where demand side pressures suddenly jump up. So the wealth effect would come into play here, where people feel a lot richer very quickly, and then they demand a lot more, and then that would push prices of goods up if the supply side can't keep up with that. So you'd want to actually rather ease the economy into a stable environment rather than shock it back into maybe a state of high inflation.
And just finally, leading on from that then, if we to look ahead, are there any specific risks, factors, red flags that could cause inflation to rise again in spite of this positive current downward trend?
Of course there are, there always would be. So medium-term risks are mainly global. So we take a look at the Middle East, the conflict in the Middle East, and hopefully that doesn't spread too far into where our oil supply comes from. Depending on the US elections and how that might turn out, we could maybe see some geopolitical instability there, but hopefully not. That's also a 50-50 gamble at the moment. And then bringing it back home, we hope to see some growth with the GNU. I think that we have a big positive upside there. But negative downside risks are mainly global.
I'm going to leave it there with my appreciation and thanks to Hannah de Nobrega from Prescient Investment Management. Always good talking to you, and we'll do this again. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.